And now for San Diego State Reports, here's Jan Rutstein.
Good evening. There are many poems, stories, and songs associated with the Christmas season. This evening, we would like to feature a small collection of such holiday material read by Cleavon Little, a graduate of Kearney High School and San Diego State College. Cleavon is probably familiar to many San Diegans, for they have enjoyed his performances in numerous community productions for the past 8 years. Cleavon majored in speech therapy at San Diego State College, but his real love seems to be acting and interpretive reading. In fact, he's presented many programs at various high schools and grammar schools in the community. Cleavon has received many laurels for his dramatic ability, and these honors and awards were climaxed by a scholarship to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York City. It's with great pleasure, then, that we welcome Cleavon Little to San Diego State Reports. Cleavon will first read this evening How Come Christmas, a light, humorous account of a group of children who suddenly learn the reason for Christmas. We listen now as Cleavon first sets the scene for How Come Christmas.
You must imagine a corner in a rural Negro church by the stove. The stove is old, and the pipe is held approximately erect by guy wires, but a cheerful fire is evident through cracks in the stove, and the wood box is well filled. 6 children sit on a bench which has been shifted to face the stove, and the reverend stands between them and the stove. A hat rack supports sprigs of holly and one plug hat. A window is festooned with holly, long strips of red paper, and strings of popcorn. A small Christmas bell and a tiny American flag are the only store-bought decorations.
Well, here we is, chillin', and here it is Christmas. Now, we all know we's here 'cause it's Christmas, don't we? But what I want to know is, who's gonna tell me how come it's Christmas?
'Cause old Santa Claus come around about this time of the year, clawing all the good children with the presents. That ain't right, is it, Reverend? It's Christmas 'cause the poor little Jesus was born on Christmas, ain't it, Reverend?
Well, now, both of them are some mighty good answers. Old Santa Claus do happen around about this time of the year with the presents, and the poor little Jesus sure was born on Christmas Day. Now, the question is, did old Santa Claus start clawing the children with the presents before the poor little Jesus got born, or did the little Jesus get born before old Santa Claus started getting around?
Well, I bet old Santa Claus was clawing children before the poor little Jesus started studying about getting around. No, sir. The poor little Jesus come first, didn't he, Reverend? Old Santa Claus is the oldest. I seen his picture, and I seen Jesus' picture, and old Santa Claus is a heap the oldest. His whiskers mighty now touch the ground. That ain't right. Old Methuselah is the oldest, ain't he, Reverend? 'Cause the Bible say Methuselah was the oldest man of his time. He lived 999, and he died and went to heaven in due time.
Methuselah was powerful old, all right.
He wasn't no older than old Santa Claus. I bet old Santa Claus got a heap of the whiskers. But poor little Jesus come first. He was here before old Methuselah, wasn't he, Reverend?
He been here a powerful long time, all right.
So is old Santa Claus. He got powerful long whiskers. Moses got a heap of whiskers, too.
Yeah, Moses was a mighty old man, too. But the point is, how come old Christmas got started being Christmas? Now, who's going to tell me? 'Cause here it is Christmas Day with everybody happy and rejoicing about, and here's us sitting by the stove in the warm church house talking about it. But ain't nobody got no idea how come it started being Christmas?
You can't fool Santa Claus about Christmas. He knows, don't he, Reverend? He just lays around and watch, and he sees how the children minding their ma. And then the first thing you know, he got his mind made up about who's been good and who's been bad, and then he just hauls off and has himself a Christmas. Yes. But how come he don't know it's time to haul off and has himself a Christmas? 'Cause any time old Santa Claus make up his mind to have Christmas, Well, who's going to stop him? Then how come he don't make up his mind until the middle of winter? How come he don't make up his mind on the 4th of July? Everybody gets around on the 4th of July, just like Christmas, so they can go to the picnic. But Santa Claus ain't paying no mind about that, because it ain't time for Christmas, ain't it, Grabbin? Because then he don't have Christmas on the 4th of July. Because it ain't no point in Santa Claus clawing everybody when everybody going to the picnic anyhow. Santa Claus believe in scattering the good stuff out. Don't he, Rabbin? He says, well, it ain't no point in me clawing folks when they're already having a good time going to the picnic. Maybe I better wait until the dead of winter when it's too cold for them to be picnicking. Ain't that right, Rabbin?
Well, Santa Claus do believe in scattering the good folks about the season, Willie. And it sure ain't no point in having Christmas on the 4th of July. Cause the 4th of July has got his own point. And who's gonna tell me what's the point of the 4th of July?
Old George Washington whipped the king and the eagle squaw let freedom ring.
That's right. Now, that was in the summertime. So everybody went out and had a picnic because they were so glad that George Washington whipped that king. Now, what's the point of Christmas?
Old Santa Claus, the poor little Jesus.
Well, it seems like old Santa Claus and the poor little Jesus both is mixed up in that thing from the way y'all looking at it. And I reckon y'all just about exactly right, too. Because that's how it is. Both of them is so mixed up in it that I can't tell which is which hardly.
Was that before the 4th of July? Coursing it was. Don't Christmas always come before the 4th of July? No, sir. It's the 4th of July first, and then it's Christmas. Ain't that right, Rebbin?
I believe Christine got you that time, Willie. Christmas do come around before the 4th of July. Because, you see, it was on Christmas when old George Washington got mad at that king because the king was going to kill the poor little Jesus. And him and that king fit from Christmas to the 4th of July before old George Washington finally done that king up.
And George Washington whipped that king, didn't he, Rebbin?
He whipped the stuffings out of him. He just done that king up so bad that he just naturally put kingin' out of style. You see, kings was bad folks. They was mean. They'd better kill you than leave you alone. You see a king walking down on the road, and you better light out across that field, because the king would walk up and he'd chop your head off. And the law couldn't touch him because he was the king. And all that is how come the poor little Jesus and old Santa Claus got mixed up with getting Christmas going. You see, one time it was a little baby born named the poor little Jesus. But didn't nobody know that his name was Jesus yet. They knew that he was a powerful smart and a powerful pretty little baby, but they didn't know that his name was the poor little Jesus. So, cause he was so smart and so pretty, everybody thought that he was going to grow up and be the king. So quick as that news got spread around, everybody just about bust their gut to get on the good side of the baby, cause they figured if they started soon enough, he'd grow up and like them and not chop their heads off. And everybody was running around in the fine presents and all that stuff to give to the poor little baby so he wouldn't grow up and chop their heads off. Everybody but old Santa Claus. Old Santa Claus was kind of old and he didn't get around much. And he didn't hear the news about the poor little Jesus, about the fact that the poor little Jesus was going to grow up and be the king. So him and the old lady was sitting back at the fire one night, toasting their shins and talking about this and that, when old Miss Santa Claus ups and remarks, and she says,
Santa Claus, I hear Miss Mary got a brand new baby over at her house.
Ha! Is that a fact? Well, it's a mighty cold night to be doing anything like that, ain't it? But on the other hand, it'll be a heap of pleasure and fun for her next summer, I reckon.
So they talk ran on like that for a while, and then old Santa Claus got up and he got his hat.
You know, I believe I'll drop over and see how that little baby getting along. I ain't seen no chillin' in so long.
I'm powerful hungry to lean my eyes upon that baby.
Well, get me my umbrella and my overshoes, and you better give me a little something to take along for a cradle gift, too, I reckon.
Now, you know it ain't nothing in the house for no cradle gift.
Would you get me something? You got to give a new baby something, or else you got bad luck. Get me one of them big red apples over in the kitchen.
Now, what kind of cradle gift is an apple? Don't you reckon that no baby want no apple?
Would you give me an apple, woman? It ain't much from the way you look at it, but from the way that baby gonna look at that apple, it'll be a whole lot. So Santa Claus, he got the apple and he lit out.
Well, when they got to Miss Mary's house, everybody was standing around giving the poor little Jesus presents. Fine presents, made out of gold and silver and diamonds and silk and all like that. They had the presents stacked around that baby so high you couldn't hardly see them. So when everybody seen old Santa Claus come in, they looked to see what he'd bring. And when they seen he didn't bring nothing but a big red apple, they all laughed. Ha! Quick as that boy gets up and get to be the king, they told him, he's gonna chop your head off.
No mind that, says Santa Claus. Y'all just stand back.
So he went up to the crib and he pushed away a handful of the gold and the silver and the diamonds and stuff, and he handed the poor little Jesus that big red apple.
Here, son, take this old apple. See how she shines?
And the poor little Jesus, he reached up and he grabbed that apple in both hands and he laughed just as brass as you please. And then old Santa Claus took and he tickled him under the chin with his before finger. And the poor little Jesus laughed some more, and he reached up and he grabbed him a fistful of the old Santa Claus's whiskers. So, about that time, up steps the Lord.
I say, old Santa Claus, says the Lord, betwixt that apple and them whiskers and that poor little Jesus, he ain't had so much fun since he been born.
So Santa Claus stepped back and he bowed low and he give the Lord a little hide and he says,
I didn't know everybody was shivering or else I'd have stayed at home. I didn't have nothing much to bring this time because you see how it's been this year, you know. The dry weather and the boll weevil got mighty nigh all the cotton.
That's all right, Santa Claus, said the Lord. Gold and silver have I plenty of, but verily you sure do know how to handle yourself around the children.
Well, Lord, I didn't know much about children, but me and the old lady just raised 14. But she done most of the work. Me, I just likes them and I manages to get along with them.
Well, you sure do get along with them good, all right, says the Lord.
Well, it's easy to do what you like to do, you know, says Santa Claus.
Well, it might be something to that, too. But the trouble with my world is it ain't enough people which likes to do the right thing. But you likes to do with children, and that's what I need. So stand still and shut your eyes while I passes a miracle.
So Santa Claus stand still, and he shut his eyes, and the Lord, he ran back, and he passed a miracle on him and said, old Santa Claus, live forever and make the children happy.
So, Santa Claus stood still and he shut his eyes. And then he opened his eyes and he says,
thank you kindly, Lord. But do I got to keep them happy all the time? You know, that's a pretty big job. Be a heap of fun, but still and all, you know,
I knows about children, too. Children's got to fret and get in devilishment every now and then and get a whipping from them all, or else their skin won't get loose so they can grow up.
But you just keep your eyes on them and make them all happy about once a year. How's that?
Well, that's fine, Lord. It'll be a heap of fun, too. What time of the year do you expect I better make them happy, Lord?
Well, Christmas suit me fine. If it's all okay with you.
Oh, it's just fine right with me, Lord.
So ever since that day and time, old Santa Claus been clawing the children on Christmas. And that's on the same day that the poor little Jesus got born. Because that's the way the Lord runs things. Of course, the Lord knowed it wasn't going to be long before the poor little Jesus growed up and got to be a man. And when he done that, all the grown folks had on him so they could moan their sins away and lay their burden down on him and get happy in their heart. The Lord made Jesus for the grown folks. But the Lord knowed the children got to have fun too. So that's how come it's Santa Claus and Christmas and all that.
On Christmas Eve, there's nothing prettier than a gaily lighted and beautifully decorated fir tree surrounded by presents. There have been many stories written about Christmas trees, but Henry Van Dyke writes of one fir tree who just isn't satisfied with himself. Let's listen as Cleavon reads Henry Van Dyke's The Foolish Fir Tree.
A little fir tree grew in the midst of the wood, contented and happy as young trees should. His body was straight and his boughs were clean, and summer and winter the bountiful sheen of his needles bedecked him from top to root in a beautiful all-the-year evergreen suit. But a trouble came to his heart one day when he saw that the other trees were gay in the wonderful raiment that summer weaves of manifold shapes and kinds of leaves. He looked at his needles so stiff and tall and thought that his dress was the poorest of all. Then jealousy clouded the little tree's mind, and he said to himself, "It was not very kind to give such an ugly old dress to a tree. If the fays of the forest would only ask me, I'd tell them how I should like to be dressed in a garment of gold to bedazzle the rest." So he fell asleep, but his dreams were bad. When he awoke in the morning, his heart was glad, for every leaf that his boughs could hold was made of the brightest beaten gold. I tell you, children, the tree was proud. He was something above the common crowd, and he'd tinkle his leaves as he would say to a peddler who happened to pass that way, "Just look at me. Don't you think I am fine? And wouldn't you like such a dress as mine?" "Oh, yes," said the man, "and I really guess I must fill my pack with your beautiful dress." So he picked the golden leaves with care and left the little tree shivering there. "Oh, why did I wish for golden leaves?" the fir tree said. "I forgot that thieves would be sure to rob me in passing by. If the fairies would give me another try, I'd wish for something that cost much less and be satisfied with glass for my dress." Then he fell asleep, and just as before, the fairies granted his wish once more. When the night was gone and the sun rose clear, the tree was a crystal chandelier. And it seemed as he stood in the morning light that his branches were covered with jewels bright. "Aha!" said the tree. "This is something great." And he held himself up so proud and straight. But a rude young wind through the forest dashed in a reckless temper and quickly smashed the delicate leaves. With a clashing sound, they broke into pieces and fell on the ground like a silvery, shimmering shower of hail. And the tree stood naked and bare to the gale. Then his heart was sad, and he cried, "Alas, for my beautiful leaves of shining glass, perhaps I have made another mistake in choosing a dress so easy to break. If the fairies would only hear me again, I'd ask them for something both pretty and plain. It wouldn't cost much to grant my request. In leaves of green lettuce, I'd like to be dressed." By this time, the fairies were laughing, I know, but they gave him his wish in a second, and so, with the leaves of green lettuce, all tender and sweet, the leaves, the trees, were arrayed from his head to his feet. "I knew it," he cried. I was sure I could find the sort of a suit that would be to my mind. There's none of the trees has a prettier dress, and none as attractive as I am, I guess.
But a goat, who was taking an afternoon walk, by chance overheard the fir trees talk. So he came up close for a nearer view.
"My salad,"
he bleated.
"I think so, too. You're the most attractive kind of a tree, and I want your leaves for my 5 o'clock tea."
So he ate them all without saying grace, and walked away with a grin on his face. While the little tree stood in the twilight dim, with never a leaf on a single limb. Then he sighed and groaned, but his voice was weak. He was so ashamed that he could not speak. He knew at last he had been a fool to think of breaking the forest's rule and choosing a dress himself to please because he envied the other trees. But it couldn't be helped. It was now too late. He must make up his mind to a leafless fate. So he let himself sink in a slumber deep, but he moaned and he tossed in his troubled sleep, till the morning touched him with joyful beam, and he woke to find it was all a dream. For there in his evergreen dress he stood, a pointed fir in the midst of a wood. His branches were sweet and the balsam smell, his needles were green when the white snow fell. And always contented and happy was he, the very best kind of a Christmas tree.
Too often we forget the real meaning of Christmas. We forget the child in the manger. Cleavon points up this forgetfulness in Frank Horn's Kid Stuff.
The wise guys tell me that Christmas is kid stuff. Maybe they've got something there. 2,000 years ago, 3 wise guys chased a star across a continent to bring frankincense and myrrh to a kid born in a manger with an idea in his head. And as the bombs crash all over the world today, the real wise guys know that we've all got to go chasing stars again in the hope that we can get back some of that kid stuff born 2,000 years ago.
You've been listening to Cleavon Little read Frank Horn's Kid Stuff. And it's interesting that Cleavon should choose this selection. For isn't it true that today people are becoming quite blasé about Christmas? In fact, they often comment that Santa Claus is kid stuff. This comment brings to my mind a little girl by the name of Virginia O'Hanlon, who when she was 8 years old, wrote the editor of the New York Sun newspaper and said, "Dear editor, some of my little friends say there's no Santa Claus. Papa says, if you see it in the New York Sun, it's so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus?" The New York Sun writer, Francis Church, said, "Virginia, your little friends are wrong. But you see, they've been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe except what they can see. They think that nothing can be which isn't comprehensible by their little minds. And all minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children's, are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant in his intellect, as compared with the boundless world about him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole of truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, and he exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist, and you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. But alas, how dreary would it be if there were no Santa Claus? It would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then. No poetry. No romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight. And worst of all, the eternal light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished. Not believe in Santa Claus? You might as well not believe in fairies. You might get your papa to hire men to watch in all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus, but even if they didn't see Santa Claus coming down, what would that prove? Nobody sees Santa Claus. But that's no sign there's no Santa Claus. The most real thing in the world are those that neither children nor man can see. Did you ever see fairies dancing on the lawn? Of course not, but that's no proof they're not there. Nobody can conceive or imagine all the wonders there are, unseen and unseeable in the world. You can tear apart the baby's rattle and see what makes the noise inside. But there's a veil covering the unseen world, which not the strongest man, nor even the united strength of all the strongest men that ever lived, could tear apart. Only faith, fancy, poetry, love, romance can push aside that curtain and view and picture the beauty and glory beyond. And you ask, is it all real? Ah, Virginia, in all this world, there's nothing more real and abiding. So, Virginia, thank God there is a Santa Claus who lives now and who will live forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, nay, 10 times 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood. This year, Virginia O'Hanlon is 76 years old. On Christmas Eve in New York City, she plans to hang her stocking by the fireplace, right alongside her 7 grandchildren's, in hope that Santa Claus will soon be there. And now, on behalf of the San Diego State Report staff, this is Jan Rothstein wishing you a very Merry Christmas.
Executive producer for San Diego State Reports is Professor Arthur Weimer. This program was produced and directed by Jan Rothstein, with technical supervision by Don Olenek. Production assistants were Jack Dickens and Steve Iaconelli. San Diego State Reports is produced through the cooperation of KFMB Radio and Radio Television San Diego State.